I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter, of course, is the first pope, and he's given those great responsibilities. Whole idea is to unlock heaven, to unlock purgatory for the sake of our sanctification and salvation. And we also, though, honor St. Paul. So we have the first apostle who was called. He was mending his nets and called with his brother Andrew. And then we have the last apostle, the apostle who did not walk and talk with Jesus for the about 3 years of his ministry, Paul, the apostle who persecuted the church, then on his way to another persecution in Damascus, of course, is struck down and is blinded, but receives a vision of the full revelation of the gospel at some point directly from Jesus. And he is the last apostle, and together they are honored, not only because one, in a sense, is the apostle to the Jews and the other is the apostle to the Gentiles, but they're also honored because they do set an example, frankly, for teamwork. It's a teamwork that wasn't perfect. This gives us all hope. Paul mentions very clearly in Galatians that for the first 3 years of his ministry, he never checks in. He never goes back from Asia Minor to Jerusalem. He doesn't double check at first that he's preaching the right thing. He's confident he's got the gospel directly from Jesus, as he claims that I was revealed the gospel by Jesus. It was only later that he says, to make sure that my preaching wasn't in vain, I went back to confer with Cephas. And so he does that. Cephas, the other name for Peter, besides Simon. And he confirms it. Now, their teamwork begins really well. Paul is honoring, you might say, the papacy, the first pope, the prince of the apostles, Peter, by double-checking his gospel is fine. And then Paul is one of those that brings the first heresy problem, in a sense, to Peter by saying, we've got a problem. We have people teaching that the Gentiles need to convert to Judaism before they become Christian. And Peter is a part of the solution. They call a council. Paul gives evidence, and that great saying in Scripture, and there was no small debate, which means they didn't reach consensus. And then Peter stood up and said what the ruling should be. And James stands up, gives some more details as the Bishop of Jerusalem. And everything seems to be going along swimmingly until Peter does what popes can do. Popes can be, and I've said this before, they can be confusing. They can be silent when they shouldn't be confusing or silent. And he ends up, by his actions, he ends up ostracizing the Gentile Christians around Jerusalem. He doesn't hang out around them, and he just hangs out around and interacts with the Jewish converts. People are wondering, like, well, aren't we all Christian? Are you giving into this whole idea? Because he was hanging out with the people that were called the Judaizers, that Gentiles had to become Jews first. And Paul comes back, and that famous line says in Scripture, he opposed him to his face. Amazing. So much for teamwork, right? Well, no, that does happen on teams. Now again, Peter, of course, ends up being chastened by this. They, in a sense, say, okay, you know, we don't, he clarifies once again what the truth is going to be, or what the truth is. Paul then becomes the full-time apostle to the Gentiles, and the rest is history. They both end up going to Rome, this great mission, you might say, from Jerusalem to Rome, which signifies the entire world. They're both martyred there, witnessing for the faith. Peter, crucified upside down because he didn't want to imitate Jesus. And Paul, beheaded with a sword because he was a Roman citizen and had that right. But they witnessed to Christ. They began with Christ, and they ended witnessing to him. But there were ups and downs in between. Now, brothers and sisters, the message, I think, is very simple. We are all on the same team, but there will be ups and downs. There will be times when you or I are confusing or silent, when we're not getting along. My brothers and sisters, we're still on the same team. We're on the team for Christ. We're on the team that's searching for goodness and truth and beauty. We're on the team, the same team that trusts in Christ's saving death. That gives us so much hope. And there are other teams as well, not just in the parish. Now again, there can be difficulties. Before I go to the other teams, there was, in my very first pastorate, now that it's 22 years ago, I found out why there were two German churches less than a mile apart. I was like, why on earth is this happening? And what really happened was this. I found out from the daughter of the oldest person in America, who was 116 years old. I just did the oldest person in America at that time's funeral. She came from Little St. Walburga. And the daughter was 90 and sharp as a tack. And I just said, you know, tell me some things from the past. Because she was there. And she said, oh, yes, my mother told me about why the two churches divided. I said, I'm all ears. It happened in the choir loft. No offense, I'm sure it will never happen here. Somebody left a message on the little stand where one person would always be that said, you're a terrible singer, you should quit. That really happened. And so that man happened to be a little bit powerful and started the other church with the permission of the archbishop, who happened to say, you have to use my architect, Emmanuel Masqueray, and the rest is history. They literally were at each other's throats for 100 years. People changed their last names to protect the innocent. I won't tell you the names, but they, like one family, had three different versions of the same name. Division does happen. You know what's beautiful? Is that the two parishes did merge in 2003, 90 years after they had divided, and they began to work together again. Even though there are ups and downs, the whole point is we're on the same team. Our families and marriages, you're on the same team. You have a great opportunity, husbands and wives, to work together. To work together not only to form a good family, but for your salvation. Blessed Karl of Austria, who was the last emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, before he even realized he was going to be the heir, for a long time he was a distant spare, just very far apart, and then people died and people were assassinated, and then the other emperor died in office during World War I. But well before that, when he was marrying Princess Zita, he told her very famously, after they were married, and now it's our job to get each other to heaven. Isn't that beautiful? And now it's our job to get each other to heaven. Now, that is the teamwork. It's teamwork for raising children, but the ultimate thing is teamwork in saving souls. That always includes ups and downs. Moments where there will be trust that's lost. Moments where there will be anger and too much emotion, a striking out of some kind. But for the sake of this great opportunity to work together, we need to have reconciliation. And that view, we are on the same team. Young people here, especially siblings in families, you're on the same team. Yes, I realize that there is a difference sometimes between the oldest, the youngest, the competitive middle child, the people pleasers, the this, that, or the other thing. But guess what? You're on the same team. God has given you your siblings so that you can work together. John Paul the Great called the family the first school of love. Isn't that beautiful? Because it is a school, an opportunity to learn about life, to learn about forgiveness, to learn about cooperation, to learn about beginning again, to really learn about love. And that means not just getting along with those who are easy. That does mean making an effort to choose to love. I remember literally the day I made the decision that I would, and my brother and I, we actually had a conversation and said, let's be friends. Why do we need to kind of compete and argue and jive, you know, just always try to jab at each other? And we literally had a conversation and said, let's get along. Let's grow up. Now we're friends. And we've been friends for decades. With friendships in general, we have the opportunity to have true Christian friends. And again, it's not an opportunity just to be my bad self with somebody else because they know what I'm like. No, it's the opportunity to be the best that we can be. To have a kind of, as St. Paul says, I've competed, I've run the race, I've competed, I've finished. We can compete in holiness, not, again, the competition that puts somebody down, but the competition that builds someone up. Even in our workplaces, and I know I've, as a priest, I've heard what happens in workplaces, just how cutthroat it can be. I'm still shocked at what people will do to get ahead, you know, lie, cheat, steal, etc. But we can even make those workplace opportunities a realization that we're on the same team because we're children of God. We can do something beyond producing, you know, objects or services for the sake of a bottom line for the company. We can help form each other. We can become better sons and daughters of God. It can become a place of evangelization. So my brothers and sisters, I invite you to consider the ways in which you and I can be a better team member. We're on the same team. We should be working for Christ. We should be evangelizing, praying for each other, sacrificing for each other, figuring out ways to work together as a parish family, as husband and wife, as siblings and sons and daughters in our families, and as friends especially. Let us realize that we have the opportunity to be like Saints Peter and Paul, to truly work together for Christ. Even though there will be ups and downs, let us witness to Christ together.